remember Sister Tammy's kids. We ask you to remember my wife's brother, Joe. We asked the Sunday school class this morning to remember him and his family. They're getting ready to talk to hospice about him. So just keep them in prayer. Remember my sister-in-law, Minnie Gilbert. They had her in Elkton this week, and they said they'd done all that they could do and transferred her yesterday or Friday night, I guess it was, from Elkton up to Westchester to a pulmonary center that maybe is going to be able to help her. So we just ask you to pray for that. And then we just ask you to pray for a couple families that have lost loved ones this week. The Harmon family, we preached Bobby Harmon's funeral on Tuesday. And then many of you know Sister Joanne Marr. She came here with us for a while. She's going back up to another church now, but her son Timmy died 41 years old, and it's just been hard on them. Just keep them families in your prayers. And if you sign up on the back for feeding the Rochester family and you want to bring them to your home, let me just give you these. They got a couple of things that they have some real bad allergies. They can't be where there's pets or animals in the houses. They can't be where they have the potpourri or the plug-in air fresheners. They asked, so that he told me it's fine, just they can't be around those things. There's two of them that have allergies real bad, and they just really set them in a fit. So if you'd like to have them, I know they're a blessing to be around. You'd have a good time with them. Amen? And they'll bless your heart just spending time with them. And if you're able to, we'd appreciate it if you were able to feed them. If you can't take them for dinner and you want to do something with them for lunch, you know, you feed them earlier in the day. I know they would appreciate that as well. So if you can do something, we would appreciate it. And we know God will bless you for it. If you found your place in Job chapter 7, we'd invite you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. And as we get ready to read God's Word, Brother George told me that I just want to make this announcement too. His surgery for this Friday is a very special surgery. It's been canceled. They can't do that surgery that he needs until he has a heart valve surgery. So they're trying to schedule him right now to get him in to have this heart valve done so that he can have this surgery done to deal with the cancer. So lift up Brother George and his family in prayer. And I know we can bathe them in prayer, and God can make things happen in a way that only he can make it happen. Amen. So you pray for Brother George, Sister Mary, and just pray that God would just guide them and help them in all that they're dealing with. Job chapter 7, beginning in verse number 1, Job says, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Are not his days also like an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? And the night be gone, and I'm full of tossing to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms, and my clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that has seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall no more return to his house, and neither shall his place know him any more." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Seated. Y'all pray for me. I'm torn this morning. I'm torn on preaching two different thoughts and two different texts, and I believe this is where God wants me to be. But you pray that God would just let his will be revealed. Job said, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth?" And he begins to labor the things that man looks for in its time and in its place. He begins to talk about the hireling, looking for the end of the day. Praise God, the best day of the work day is quitting time. Amen? Amen? that the best time of the work week is payday. Amen. Well, those are the things that we look for. Those are the things that we're expectant of. And those are the things that we're desiring. And he goes on down to talk about the progression of life and how when life vanishes and how it's gone and seen no more. It's a natural procession that we go through. It's a national process, natural process that we see. And we realize that our life is dictated by appointments of times. Amen. And he said, is there not an appointed time to man? And I got to dwelling on that, and I got to thinking about another verse that deals with an appointment, and got to looking and studying some on the appointments in God's Word. And I want to preach to you this morning on God's appointment book. Amen. And its effect and its ramifications in your life. The Bible, 126 times refers to an appointed time or an appointed place, an appointed purpose, an appointed thing. There's something that we need to grasp when God repeats a thought and repeats that word that many times. And he tells us there's appointments that we're all going to face and that we're all going to keep, and we must abide by these appointments. We look around us and we can see our life is ruled by the natural appointments that God has given us in this world. Governed by the seasons. Amen. The appointed times of the seasons as they come and as they go. Amen. The things that we can do in the warm weather, we can't do in the cold weather. Amen. The things that we do in the summer, we don't do in the winter because of the appointed season that is upon us. We see the appointment of day and night, and we see that the sun shines as God says it would in the day, and we see that the moon rules at night as God said it would. We see that the oceans, as they've been created, have been given bounds to which they can come no further. God has appointed their bounds and appointed their place. Nature is so proficient. Nature is so reliable. Nature is so infallible because it was created by an infallible hand. It was created by an infallible mind. It was created by an infallible being who can do nothing that is fallible, nothing that is wrong, nothing that will fail in whatever he does. And his creation, his natural creation, is so precise and so reliable that God even compares it to his faithfulness. In Jeremiah chapter number 33, verses 25 and 26, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and to have mercy upon them." We see that God even compares his faithfulness unto his promise to David on the authority and on the rule of the appointment that he has given nature in and of itself. We can look to nature and we can find consistency. We look to nature, we find reliability. We don't know when the different seasons are going to come. Here we've been living in the middle of the winter. We've had a crazy winter. Some days it's been cold, some days it's hot, but we know that winter's not over till winter is over. Amen. We know that spring's coming, and we see the warm weather, and people, some folks went out and already started planting their garden back in February because it got warm and spring hadn't even got here yet. It's not time to plant until the spring gets here. Amen. Until the weather's right, the season's right. God has appointed everything perfect in his time. And he knows that when we function in his time and when we function in his appointments according to his will, that things will function the way that we are. There's an appointed purpose unto man. God makes no bones about it. Why we are here. Our purpose is to worship God. Our purpose is to glorify Him. And God will fulfill His purpose in our lives, whether you want to or not, whether you are willing to or not. God will fulfill His purpose. The Bible tells us how God used men that thought they were abiding and thought they were completing and thought they were doing their own will to His purpose. King Nebuchadnezzar was a man who was used to God's purpose. Amen. God used him to bring the Israelites and to bring Judah into captivity for their sin. God's purpose was fulfilled through an individual that did not realize he was being used. 400 years before King Cyrus, the great king of the Persian Empire, was even born. God had already mentioned in His prophecy that He had chosen Cyrus and He would use Cyrus to deliver His people from bondage. And 400 and some odd years later, guess what happened? God's purpose was fulfilled in him. Amen. There's an appointed purpose, and sometimes God picks out individuals to appoint His purpose to. Saul, when he was called to preach, he said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" God said, "I want you to go down to Damascus, and it will be told you the things that are appointed unto you." God told King Ahab that when he let King Ben-Hadad, the Syrian king, go, that he had appointed him unto destruction, and because Ahab had let him loose and Ahab had let him go, that now that destruction that was meant for Ben-Hadad was going to fall upon King Ahab and was going to fall upon his people. Amen. God's purpose is fulfilled. God's appointed purpose for your life will be fulfilled whether you want to or whether you don't want to. The Bible says that our purpose as human, our purpose as His creation is to give God glory. Amen. It's our purpose. It's our goal. It should be our desire in life is that in everything that we do, our lives would give God glory. We give God glory through the praise when we sing the songs. We give God glory through the praise when He blesses our heart and we're not afraid to let go and shout and say amen and praise God for just a little bit. God's glory is being revealed in our lives when we live our lives and we strive to live a life that's pleasing unto Him. The Bible tells us in our adult Sunday school class in 1 John chapter 3 that we who are the sons of God, we who've been given that privilege, we who are born again, we who have been birthed into the family of God through and by the blood of Jesus, by the way of the old rugged cross, He said, those of us that have this hope within us purifieth ourselves, even as He's pure. Amen. Amen. See, our purpose is to give God glory in our daily life and in the fruit that we bear and what people see. What should be evident on the outside is what we say has transpired on the inside. Amen. When Jesus lives on the inside, it should be evident on the outside. And our appointed purpose would be that our lives might give glory. Our lives might honor Him. Our lives might lift Him up and put Him in the place where He deserves to be, that He might receive glory. You see, our lives and the life that we live are appointed to times and purposes and things. Look at just a few of the things that the Bible says about the appointments. Our provision is appointed. The king appointed Daniel his provision. Amen. God has provided and appointed to us that we need. He said He supplies our needs. Now, too many people, too many times we get frustrated and we get discouraged and we get disappointed in God because we didn't get our wants. He never said He was going to supply our wants. Amen? But He said He would supply our needs. Our daily provision will be met. And I'm thankful that He's met every need that we have. And I have found and I've come to realize that every need I have has already been met in Jesus Christ. Amen. Whether they're physical, whether they're spiritual, whether they're emotional, whatever they might be, our needs, our provision has been made and has been met in Jesus Christ. He tells us that there's places that are appointed unto us. Amen. There's places where we can go. I was looking there, and the one that struck out to me the most was when Achish took David and his band of soldiers. And Achish was a Philistine. He's one of the Philistine kings. Philistine. What did I say? Philistine. Philistine. Boy. Brother Michael Delafaz is going to be here. He would take me to task over that one. Amen. Brother Michael Delafaz, did I tell you he's going to be with us right before Bible school? I thought I sent you an email, but I'll let you know. But anyway, yeah, he was a Philistine king. Amen. He was a Philistine king. And the Philistines were going to battle against Israel. And David was using Achish to keep him safe and keep him away from Saul, keep him protected. And Achish had gave David a city and a town to dwell in called Ziklag. But he told David, when I go out to battle, he said, I want you to go with me. And he said, I don't want you just to be anywhere. He said, I want you to be right around me. In other words, he wanted David to take care of him because David had a reputation. Saul had slain his thousands, but David had slayed his tens of thousands. And Achish was familiar with the songs that the Israelites sang, the praises that they lavished upon David as he returned from battle. But what he failed to realize, and what his compatriots and what his other kings, his comrades in arms knew, was that David had a reputation of killing Philistines. And they said, this man is not going to go into battle with us. Send him to his place that you have appointed unto him. David had a place where they wanted him to be because it was an appointed place. There's a place for us to be. There's a time for us to be at church. It's an appointed place. Amen. There's a time for us to be at work. It's an appointed place. I used to work on an assembly line, and when the buzzer went off, I was expected to be at my appointed place and ready to go to work and ready for everything to happen when it was supposed to happen. And God has an appointed place. There's a place called heaven that many people have heard about. And everybody wants to go to, but there's also a place called hell that most people want to forget about. Amen. And there's a place that God has appointed to each one of us. A place where we won't escape being. A place called heaven that's made and meant for those who have come by the way of the cross. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You see, it's not about your good works. It's not about your good deeds. It's not about how much money you have or how much money you've given or how much work you've done for somebody or how much charitable effort you've put forward. It's about whether you've been born again. Whether you've come through Jesus to go to heaven. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But there's also a place that's called hell. A place that was never intended for any of God's creation to go to. It's not God's will that any should perish. The Bible tells us that. Hell was never appointed for you. Hell was a place that was appointed for the devil and for his demons and for all that would refute and all who would reject God's authority and God's will. But sadly, God knows that there are many who will reject him. Many who will refuse him. Many who sit in churches Sunday after Sunday, who will go to this awful place called hell. because they haven't surrendered their lives and haven't accepted Christ Jesus as their Savior. Jesus said, the only way that you're going in is by me. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You're going to have to come through me. You're going to have to come by me if you want to go to heaven. But those who will reject coming by me and coming through me, who will reject the new birth, who will reject this plan of salvation that God has so graciously offered unto man, will find themselves in a place appointed unto all those who reject God, all those who refuse God's gift of salvation. Jesus said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. Why? Because not everybody wants to accept him. Not everybody wants to allow him in. No, not everyone is willing to surrender themselves and submit their lives unto what thus saith the Word of God. And they will find themselves separated from God, cast in the outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Where the worm dieth not, the rich man in Luke 15, the Bible says, in hell he lift his eyes. Words are real important in the Bible. We study a lot about words in Sunday school. Words are very important, and they're there the way they are for a reason. You hear so many Christians say the Bible says in hell that the rich man lifted his eyes. No, the Bible says in hell he lift his eyes. He didn't lift his eyes in a past tense. He lift his eyes in a present tense. Because he rejected and he denied and he wouldn't receive what God had offered. Even though he was rich and even though he had everything, he rejected God in the Bible. And he said, I'm tormented. You see, hell was intended to be a place of, it was intended to be a place of destruction. It was intended to be a place of unimaginable agony and unimaginable pain, unimaginable utter destruction. Why? Because it was intended for the devil and those who reject God. We was flipping the channels. My wife channel surfs a lot. And she was flipping the channels the other night and seen a movie. It was a war movie, and a guy was in a tank, and the tank got hit. Brother Joe can relate to this. The tank got hit, and the driver come up out of the driver's position in the tank, and he was on fire, and he was just sitting there on fire. And the man pulled his pistol out and stuck it to his head and blowed his own brains out because of the agony that he was going through. That's what hell is. Only you can't die. You'll never die because you'll be in agony for all of eternity. You see, there's an appointed place for each one of us. God has appointed a place in heaven. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's a place that he wants us to be. There's a place that's appointed for each one of us who will trust Jesus as our Savior. But just as importantly, there's a place for all those who choose to reject him. And it's already been set. It's already been sealed. It's already been made ready. And it's growing every day. The Bible says hell hath enlarged her borders because so many people are rejecting God's truth. They're rejecting God's authority and are splitting hell wide open. There are appointed responsibilities. I'm appointed as a man of God to stand and to preach the things that God has told me to do. There's an appointed responsibility to each one of you who know Christ Jesus as your Savior to go into this lost world and to be a light that shines before them, to let your life be a revelation of what has transpired and what has happened on the inside. You each have an appointed responsibility to go and tell the world about Jesus. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When was the last time you fulfilled your appointed responsibility? Nehemiah came back to Jerusalem, and the walls were torn down. And prayerfully and carefully, Nehemiah and those who came with him rebuilt the walls. And after they got the walls rebuilt and got the city secured, he began to look around and see the problems that needed dealt with. There was a disparity between his people, some haves and some have-nots, and some taking advantage. He dealt with that. He cleaned it up. There were those who were coming in from the outside on the Sabbath and were polluting the Sabbath by trying to sell on the Sabbath. And he seen the need to block the inside from the outside, just like we need to do in our spiritual lives. Amen. We need to build a spiritual wall around our hearts, and we need to keep the world at bay. We need to keep the world where it belongs, and we need to keep our hearts focused on God. Amen. But then he looked to the house of God, and he seen the corruption that was in the house of God. The man of God was corrupt. Amen? The man of God was corrupt. He threw him out. Amen? They cleaned it out. Amen? They sanctified it. They made it holy again. You know, if we would take that lesson in our own spiritual lives, amen? We need to throw out the things that need to be thrown out. We need to clean up the things that need to be cleaned up. And we need to sanctify ourselves as a vessel meet for the Master's use. Amen. Just think of what he could do to each and every one of us and through each and every one of us. Amen. See, there's an appointed responsibility. And the Bible says when he got things taken care of, he got the Levites. See, they were the priestly tribe. They were the ones to take care of the temple. The Bible says we've been made priests in Jesus. Amen. And he appointed unto them their ward. Amen. You know what that word ward means? Their responsibility. Amen. Bryson is a ward. Amen. He's been made a ward legally. A responsibility of Pam and Adams. But so has Alyssa. She was made a ward of Tanya by birth. Amen. You see, we have not just a legal obligation and a legal responsibility according to the law, but we have a family obligation, a family responsibility to bear our vessels, to bear our lives well. Amen? To bear our lives in a manner that's honoring and pleasing unto God, and a way that uplifts Him. Look at what else. There are our positions that are appointed. Positions which are appointed. Nobody, in effect, in God's economy, does whatever they want. You know, Trump isn't president because Trump is great. Amen? Just like Obama wasn't president because Obama was great. Just like George Washington wasn't president because George Washington was great. Amen? They're president because God appointed him to that place. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that the king can only rule if God allows him to be the ruler. Amen? If God allows it. He's only there because God has a purpose for him. And God has given him that position. God has given him that place. God has put him there for a purpose. Just like God has used each one of us and puts each one of us in a place and in a position for a purpose that he can fulfill in our life. You have a responsibility to heed God's word. You've been appointed to a position in which you're able to magnify God in some way, however it is that God will use you to do it. He's brought you here today for a purpose, amen, that he might put you in a position where you are, that you might realize what it is that you need to do to give God the glory, amen. Let me tell you, let me just put it this way, you're not here by accident, amen. You don't hear the word of God by accident, amen. God wanted you to hear it. He put you in the position that you're in. I told my adult Sunday school class, and I want you to pray. There was a letter stuck in the door. It's a heartbreaking letter from a young lady that I know and hold very dear to my heart. A young lady that I married here in this church not too long ago, and their life has become a shambles because of her husband's drug addiction, and they've got divorced, and it's just a mess. And she says, "I know, but I just feel like I'm so bad that I'm not worthy to come." And I want you all to pray for her. Amen. But I'm glad God brought her to the place to realize her position. Amen. You know what the psalmist said many times in the psalm? I'm poor and needy. Amen. You see, God doesn't always elevate us. God doesn't always appoint us a great title and a great position and put us in a great place. Sometimes God brings us low and he appoints us a place where we realize that the only help we have is in him. That's what this young lady said. I know. She said, I just feel so bad. She said, I've contemplated taking my own life. She's got two little babies. I've contemplated taking my own life. Why? Because the devil will bring you low. And God needs you to get low. The prodigal son had to get appointed a position in the hog pen before he realized where his help was. When he was down in the hog pen, when he was eating with the hogs, is when he came to himself. When he realized his greatest need. See, you're not in this place by accident. And God has put you in the position that he's put you in. He's appointed that position unto you for a purpose that you might realize who he is. You might realize what he can do. And you might realize what you need, because everything that you need can be found in him. Amen. But then he's got positions and he's got purposes for lives. He put the pastor in the church. He put the deacons in the church. He put the church members in the church. He's got us all for a purpose and all for a reason. Go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and you can read about all the different offices and different works that happen within the church. But look, there's an appointed law. He's established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel. There's signs that we have, and we can realize now there was an appointed sign between the men of Israel and the liars in wait. Solomon the preacher summed it up in Ecclesiastes in a very familiar text like this. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace, a friend of all the appointments that we have and all the appointments that are given unto us, the most critical that we have and the most unchangeable appointment that we have is the appointment of time. You see, time is a fleeting thing. Time is given us in the Bible as something that we need to be mindful of. He tells us several times in His Word, redeeming the time. That means taking full advantage of, taking full advantage of the time. You see, there are times when the prophecy was appointed to go out. There are times you can read in Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all the minor prophets about the prophecies that went forth. There was a time for the prophecy. There was a time for the promise of Christ, and the time of Christ was fulfilled according to God's Word. Then there's another time that is preached about, another time that's appointed unto God, and it's the second coming of Christ. Amen. When He's going to step out on the clouds and He's going to speak and He's going to raise His voice, and the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain, and that's talking about the born again Bible believing Christian, those who've trusted Jesus as their Savior, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's a time appointed that's been prophesied and that's been told about in Habakkuk in chapter 2, I believe it is. He made this appointment. He said, these prophecies, these sayings are for the time appointed. And friend, let me tell you what, Jesus is coming, ready or not. Amen. He's coming for you, whether you're prepared to go or not prepared to go. And I got news for you. Some of us aren't going to make it to the rapture. Some are going to go by the way of the grave. In Hebrews 9:27, Brother Jim, Sister Mary, you might as well get a song ready.